Hello, this is Pastor Robert from Esterhazy Baptist Church in Esterhazy, Saskatchewan. Thank you for joining us today. This message is for the week of April 7th, 2024. It's entitled The Promise of the Empty Tomb, Part 2. The call to worship is from Psalm 29, verses 2 and 11. Praise the Lord for the glory that belongs to Him. Worship the Lord because of His beauty and holiness. The Lord gives strength to His people. The Lord blesses His people with peace. Thank you, Lord. The promise of Jesus' empty tomb that first Easter Sunday is the promise of peace. Peace is something we all want. And it is something we all require. Parents, during a time of noisy frustration, may ask for just a moment of peace and quiet. Yet the real peace we all need is internal, not external. For being at peace within enables us to handle external frustrations in a grown-up way. The message of Easter is that what Jesus did by dying on the cross for humanity's sins and defeating death's grip by rising from the dead makes experiencing peace with God and peace of God possible. Now, you need to know this peace that Jesus achieved by dying on the cross is not automatic. God will not force His will on you. Each one of us needs to admit to God that I am a sinner in need of your forgiveness. And then we need to accept Jesus as our sin forgiver, our Savior, and submit to Him as the leader of my life, my Lord. As you do, you will begin to experience inner peace. The inner peace experienced by a new Christian seems incredible to them. It is such a change. Life now has purpose and makes sense. I am at peace with the God who made me and loved me so much that He took my sins upon Himself on the cross. It's great, but it raises the question, why then do some Christians seem to have more peace in their lives than others? Perhaps you've noticed that in yourself, that other people seem to be more at peace, other believers, than you're experiencing. When I first married my wife, Karen, I was so in love with her. As the wedding date was coming up, my love was full to the brim. However, to my surprise, I discovered that as the weeks and months went by after our wedding, that my love for her continued to grow. In fact, it grew so much that it got to the point where as I looked back and thought about what I thought was my huge love for her on her wedding day, it seemed to pale in comparison to what I was feeling for her at that time, at that moment. What happened? Didn't I love her when I married her? Of course I did. But as we spent more time together, experiencing the joys and the struggles of being in a relationship, our relationship grew. Our love grew. And likewise, the peace of God and the peace we receive from God can grow also, greater and greater. How can this peace from God grow? There are four ways to grow our peace. And this is important for us to understand. We have a role in it. It's not just, you know, I hold out my cup and hope that God will fill it, then I'll feel peace. We have a role in growing our peace as we grow in our relationship with God. How can we grow our peace? First of all, Our peace grows through trusting God. Our peace grows through putting our trust, our faith in God in everyday circumstances, in those things that you thought were impossible, in those things you didn't even think you needed to bother him about. But as you begin to do that, you see him involved in your life. You can take a breath. You can relax. You don't need to do everything, plan everything. God is keeping his promises to you that he will help you. Your trust grows and your peace grows. The more we trust God, the more we will experience his peace. And as we experience his peace, our trust grows and the cycle continues. Psalm 46 addresses what to do when the world seems to be coming apart at the seams. This psalm describes, you know, the ocean surging and the mountains falling, the nations in turmoil. And in verse 10, God speaks up. Verse 10 says, our God says, calm down and learn that I am God. All nations on earth will honor me. Psalm 46, verse 10. God says to his people, don't look at your circumstances. Look in trust to me. Isaiah 26, verses 3 and 4 confirms this. It says, you, Lord, give true peace to those who depend on you because they trust you. So trust the Lord always because he is our rock forever. Want to grow in your peace? Then work and experience the peace that comes as you put your trust in God in the everyday things that you are going through, in those relationships that are so trying, in those things that you've been asked to do that you've never done before, but you feel God laying it on your heart. Ask him for his help. Trust him. Rely on him. Experience his peace. It will grow. Now, secondly, our peace grows through loving obedience to God's direction. Our peace grows as we listen to God's direction and we love what his correction and obedience to us. Now, where do we find God's directions? In the Bible. That's his word. The more we love God and obey his word, the more we will know and experience his peace. Trust that God knows what he is talking about when he tells us what to do and what not to do. Trust him. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11 tells us that learning from God's correction and adjusting our lives to his way brings us peace. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11 says, we do not enjoy being disciplined. It is painful at the time, but later, after we have learned from it, we have peace because we start living in the right way. God's discipline is for our good. And as we make these corrections to our lives that his word tells us we need to, then suddenly the pieces will begin to fit. There will be peace. It'll make sense. I understand. Thank you, Lord. Psalm 119, verse 165 confirms that obedience to God's direction brings us peace. Psalm 119, verse 165 says, those who love your instructions have great peace and do not stumble. And do not stumble. Remember, God knows what he's talking about. He knows the pitfalls that sin will bring on you. That's why there are the cautions. That's why he says, don't do that. Now, thirdly, a third way to grow our peace is as we learn what brings true contentment. As we learn what brings true contentment, many times our peace is robbed by discontentment. Where do we look for peace? Where do people look for peace? You know, looking for our peace in status, in our appearance, other people, or things will eventually lead to disappointment and rob us of our peace if that's what we're leaning on. These things will eventually let us down. Our possessions do not bring peace. All that we buy, we're just getting ready for an eventual garage sale. It's going to have to happen. If we don't do it, someone else will have to do it for us. And neither do living a busy life bring peace. We try to do everything and find out it doesn't help. We're still empty. Now, Jesus didn't tell us to ignore life's necessities. But he said, don't make them your priority. Instead, make seeking God and his will your priority, your mission, your main focus. Seeking God and his will. And then to trust that God would ensure that we will have what we need. He says this in Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 to 33. Don't worry and say, what will we eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear? The people who don't know God keep trying to get these things. And your heavenly Father in heaven knows you need them. Seek first God's kingdom and what God wants. Then all your other needs will be met as well. He's saying, trust God. Trust God that he knows what you really need. He knows what will bring you contentment. Put him first. Follow his will. Everything else will fall into place. That's how to find true contentment and grow your peace. Our peace grows through trusting God. Our peace grows through loving obedience to God's direction. Our peace grows as we learn what brings true contentment. And finally, our peace grows as we live as peacemakers. Peace is not just to be an inner experience for us. We as Christians are called to be peacemakers in our world. Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, verse 9 says, God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. And Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 says, work at living in peace with everyone, and work at living a holy life. For those who are not holy will not see the Lord. Work at living in peace with everyone and live a holy life. The church should be a place where peace abounds. Christ has given us his peace through his death and resurrection, so the church should be a place where peace abounds. We need to work at this, and God tells us to do this, to be peacemakers among ourselves and in our world. The empty tomb means the wall between us and God has been removed. Peace with God is possible for those that accept Jesus' sacrifice on their behalf. The message of the empty tomb also means that Christ Jesus has broken down the walls between us, between human beings, between nations. And peace between us as Christians is not only possible, it is expected by our Heavenly Father, by our Lord Jesus Christ. Finally, we are to bring and to be God's message of peace and restoration in this world. Be a peacemaker through your words and your demeanor, whether it is at home or at work or where you shop or exercise in your neighborhood, be a peacemaker. Pray for peace in our land, in our world, and in the hearts of those around you. Amen. The benediction is from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16. This is from the Good News Bible. May the Lord himself, who is our source of peace, give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with you all. Amen. Amen. The Lord be with you all. God bless you. Thank you for joining us today. And goodbye.